Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back on a Thursday afternoon edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined by Jeremy Lambert. Jeremy, I don't even know where you're coming from. What are you, parts unknown? Where is Jeremy Lambert of Fightful at the moment?
I'm in North Carolina, where it's almost New Year, Chase. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, man. Are you doing anything? I know it's COVID, so asking this question this year seems fruitless, but what are you planning on doing today?
I've done absolutely nothing. I've slept, and I'm going to sleep some more. I'll make it to midnight. I'll say nice things to people, and then I'll go back to sleep.
Okay. Were you pre-COVID a going out person for New Year's?
It depends. Like, when I was married, we would go out and we would go downtown sometimes and celebrate the New Year like that. Sometimes we'd just stay at home or have friends over. So we typically like celebrate with people in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm single, I have no one to celebrate with, and it's COVID, and I'm just a big loser anyway.
Whoa. None of those things are true. And I like you, Jeremy. And
thank you. I do have a girlfriend. She lives in a different state.
Oh, shots fired. I was going to say, like, you didn't even mention her with all of that. So wait, didn't you just say you were single?
I did say I was single. I'm single in my presence. My presence is single, do have a girlfriend. Again, she lives in a different state.
I was going to say, don't get in trouble, Jeremy. She might be a big fan of the podcast. We don't know.
I hope she doesn't listen to anything I do. She'd be a crazy person because I do too many shows and too many antics.
Long distance. Okay. That's tough. I will tell you. That is someone. It's tough.
It won't be long distance for much longer.
Okay. Well, that's good. What part of North Carolina are you in?
Technically, like Raleigh. We'll call it Raleigh-Durham area. Okay. It's just outside that, but it's close enough to it.
Well, because I'm in Knoxville, and I learned this fall that Knoxville to Charlotte's not far at all. And, like, North Carolina is only a couple hours from Tennessee, East Tennessee. So that blew my mind of how close Tennessee is to, like, Virginia and North Carolina. And after going to North Carolina, very pro-Charlotte, very pro-North Carolina. Like,
Charlotte is nice. Knoxville's not too far. It's probably because I've driven to Tennessee a couple Nashville a couple of times. The most recent was I went there for a Taylor Swift concert a few years ago, and it's only like a 6-7 hour drive, and I think Knoxville's even like closer than Nashville is.
Did you like T-Swift's new album?
I like both of them. Mm-hmm. Anything she does is genius.
Anything.
Yeah,
I like that. She's no Kacey Musgraves, but she's solid.
Wow. No Kacey Musgraves.
Kacey Musgraves is the queen, sir. Like that, she still is like the only, like outside of Interpol's Turn on the Bright Lights album, which I still think is the only perfect album. Like Kacey Musgraves' album, what is it? Golden Hour is just from beginning to end, just an absolute delight, as the kids say.
I will listen to Kacey Musgraves. I've not listened to much. I feel like I've listened to just like a couple of songs. I'm not like a big country person.
I'm not either. And it's not really country. It's kind of like, it's like indie country. I don't even know how to describe it. Like it's so good. Just listen to Golden Hour from beginning to end, and you're going to be like, oh, I get what he's saying.
All right, I will do that. I'll do that.
That, and then on the podcast, we'll review it. Because that's what people want to hear on a pro wrestling podcast, is Kacey Musgraves' album reviews. That's what the kids are after.
Sure. I mean, when we do our podcast, it's technically a wrestling podcast. Mm-hmm. We spend more time talking about like basketball and
because wrestling sucks.
Really Taylor Swift music. Wrestling is wrestling.
Yeah, it's like it's the dorkiest thing about me. When people talk, like, one of the things, this happens a lot when they're like, oh, you do a sports podcast, blah blah blah, and they ask me what I do on different days, and I'm like, well, on Thursdays I do pro wrestling, and they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I still absolutely love pro wrestling. And they're like, not UFC or anything like that. And I'm like, no. I like my fighting fake. Like, I'm not a UFC person. I'm not a boxing person. I like my combat sports to be scripted, and that is my deal. And I don't know, it always stands out to people. They're like, oh, okay, so that's like your third. Okay, I don't understand how you love all these real sports and then you can just change your brain to watch a scripted sport. And I'm like, well, I grew up with it, and unfortunately it is just programmed to be. Like, I thought about that the other day, where I don't know if you had this realization where you're like, even if I just was like, I don't want to do this anymore, I would feel guilty about not doing it anymore, because I've spent so much time and it's just baked into my DNA at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel. I've felt many, many times of like, I don't want to cover this anymore. And this year has been terrible when it comes to wrestling. Like, god awful. Like, the on-screen stuff hasn't been the greatest. The off-screen stuff has just, it's been one of the worst years I can remember in just following the sport. And now that I'm closer to the sport by covering it and everything, like, nothing will make you hate this sport more than if you're just like attached to it and in the bubble every single day with it. Like, you'll just completely get fed up with it. I joke a lot, and it's not always a joke, that like, I hate pro wrestling. Like, I love it when it's great. Otherwise, like, I just can't stand it. But it's provided me with a nice steady job, and I've made a lot of really good friends and met a lot of people from it. So I can't complain too much about it. But there's so much of it to consume, and when you're covering it, like, you've got to consume a vast majority of it, and it doesn't leave you a lot of time to talk about anything else. And then your wrestling friends are always like, let's talk about wrestling, let's talk about wrestling. He's like, I don't want anything to do with wrestling. I just spent 12 hours covering the thing. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, I can empathize with you there, man. Like, you have this disconnect on pro wrestling. I have this, like, across the board with sports. So people, when they find out, like, I'm hesitant to discuss what I do with people, especially guys I meet out. Like, if I'm at a bar and someone asks me about what I do, or they see me writing and taking notes, because I take notes a lot when I'm out, and I'm like, whatever I'm watching, I just have all these legal pads full of notes, and I am planning out my week and all this stuff. And then when they see it, they're like, oh, you get to do that, and like, what do you think about blah? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I feel guilty, because I genuinely don't like the podcast and my writing and like all the stuff I read and watch. I'm like, that it's work for me, and like, pro wrestling is work for you. So sports at this point is work for me, and I don't enjoy the back and forth that like every other sports fan does, who like spends their day as an accountant, and they get off and they want to connect with other guys who also like sports and care about it. And they're like, oh, what do you think about this starting pitcher? And I'm just like, I don't want to have this conversation. That's why, like, most of my best friends in my life are not, like, just hardcore sports fans. Like, they have different things that we have in common that I just don't want to do. And, like, I don't like dating people who are really into sports. Like, that is, I've tried it, and it doesn't work, because it's just, I want you to have something else, and I don't really want to talk about it when I'm off, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm not as close to the other sports like that. So I don't have that. I wish I had more friends who just liked sports, at least, again, physical.
You can
friends,
have all money.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll come to Knoxville and I'll just take all your friends.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that. But yeah, like, wrestling, when people will message me about like wrestling stuff, like, I'll chat wrestling all day, it's fine. But sometimes I'm just like, can we talk about literally anything else? Like, what's going on in your life? Like, let's talk about that. What's going on with that? I don't want to talk about, you know, what New Japan is doing right now.
I'm done with existential thought. Let's talk about that. Why are we here? Let's go.
Exactly. This is why, especially after midnight, people messaging me after midnight talking about wrestling. I'm like,
oh, you're way nicer.
Stoned I am after midnight.
You are so much nicer than I would be. Like, I also just, I'm really bad at responding to texts and DMs and stuff like that. Like, I always tell people, I'm like, just email me. Like, I'm really good about responding to email. I'm horrible at messages on Facebook, Twitter, and text. Like, I'm just a notorious, just bad at that. And emails, though, love a good email response. I'm really good at that. I am good, because I don't like having stuff sitting in my queue in my email. Like, I get anxiety when, like, are you a person that has, if you looked at your phone right now, like 1,000 unread emails with the red marking.
Oh,
because
no,
I see people do that and I'm just like, I want to die. I would throw my phone away. Like, I could not handle that.
No, I'm completely like, I will check it immediately. Mm-hmm. And then if it's something to respond to, I'll try to respond immediately. Not always. And this goes for like all across the board, like DMs, text, emails. But yeah, I usually check like as soon as I can. And then I try to respond if I want to respond as soon as I can. Sometimes I just don't have a response or don't want to respond.
Yeah. Well, thank you for responding to me, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
Yes. I'm always going to respond to opportunities. Come on.
Ooh. Yeah, there you go. I like it. The American Dream, the go-getter, Jeremy Lambert. That can be a pro wrestling name, the go-getter. Speaking of pro wrestling, Jeremy, I want this to be, because it's the end of the year, pro wrestling is getting ready to gear up for a very, I don't know, kind of, there's no going into 2021, like there's still so much uncertainty about when fans are coming back in, when I know AEW just had their largest pandemic crowd this week, but I'm thinking about 2021 and where they're going, but like a lot of these shows, I'm not really all that pumped up about where they're going anywhere. And I was thinking about that. I was just making a list of like who I like and all this stuff and where we're heading. And I don't know, there's not a lot of stuff that's just jumping off the page to me at the moment. And I don't know if it's because of the pandemic burnout and because of the lack of excitement and seeing who's over and who's not playing a role in this. But are you, when you're thinking about the year in review and like where we're headed in pro wrestling and the shows that you're going to cover next year, are you like chomping at the bit for anything at the moment?
The difficult part with this now, like everything feels like it's a pandemic era. I don't know when fans are coming back. Like I'll play my TEW game and I'll just be like, all these shows are just taking place in an empty arena, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how I feel like I'm just booking the show. I don't feel like I'm booking for fans anymore. I feel like I'm just booking for like a television audience. I'm excited. I'm always excited around Royal Rumble season. And yeah, this year there's like a lot of uncertainty of who's going to win. I have no idea who's going to win with the Royal Rumble. AEW always puts out a good show, and I am really excited about the New Year's Smash shows. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in not a weird spot, but just they're in the spot they're in with the death of Brody Lee, unfortunately. Yeah. And I thought the tribute show was absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
Last night, like just a great job all around by everyone. I can't imagine how hard that was. So it's been a rough week, so it's been tough for me to be like, oh, I'm really excited about this. And next week is like killer. Like people look at the next week lineup and they're like, oh man, so much good stuff every day. But again, this goes back to like when you're covering it and there's like three New Japan shows, AEW has a big Wednesday show, NXT has a big Wednesday show, MLW is even doing a big show, and you have the usual Raw, SmackDown, Impact stuff, and then Impact's even doing like a big Saturday show. Like next week is just such a rough stretch that like I'm excited for stuff on there, but I'm also like, I'll just be really happy when this is over.
You're already dreading the amount of work and the amount of wrestling that you're gonna watch next week.
Oh yes, like I will be burned out like the first week of January. Like by the time Sunday hits, a week from Sunday, I'll just be like, all right, I'm good, let me take like 2 months off now, because that was just a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. I can't wait for that first show of the crowds being back. I really can't, just because I'm so curious. Like, I guess not even the first week, because they're just going to pop for everything. People are just going to pop across the board, would be my guess. But I would be curious to see like a month after of like, that's when we'll start to see like kind of the real reactions and the real sentiments from fans about where they stand with certain people, because there's not one person I'm more interested in than Drew McIntyre and what kind of reaction he gets. Because I don't know if you watch Raw this week, Jeremy, but
of course I watch all these shows.
It sucks. Raw is just awful. I hate Raw so much with every fiber of my being, and it's so hard to get through, and it's not their fault, but like, good god, the story, like the Sheamus, Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre, like the opening segment this week was just so boring, and it's so cringy. Sheamus and Drew are just so cringy, but I feel like, I think there's like a disconnect. Do you see this too, where Drew McIntyre is being built? Maxwell of RBR Wrestling had this really great point about this, where he was like, Drew McIntyre is booked the way they should have booked Roman Reigns years ago, where like he's very protected. They just handed him the Rumble win. They just let him beat Brock Lesnar and they just let him run roughshod through the roster, and just he never lost and was just claymoring everyone and just giving him the kind of the Roman Reigns thing that they just never fully pulled the trigger on years ago with him. The problem right. is Reigns is showing that like he is good enough to do that, because Reigns is just an all-time just great heel, and we've seen the side where it's like, oh right, he doesn't need to talk, he can just be a badass, like the head of the table stuff is just incredible, and they've stumbled on this great thing that is going to define the company for years. Drew, on the other hand, is in that spot that Reigns was going to be in as a babyface, but he doesn't have the talent. Like Drew is just not that good. He's not very good on the mic. He's not like ever gonna put, he's just not interesting. He is a solid B minus C plus across the board.
Wow. Wow. B minus C plus on Drew McIntyre?
What is it about Drew that like he is not amazing at anything, but he's put in a spot where it's like he is supposed to be this all time great champion and it's this great story. And I'm like, Drew's not great at anything. Like there's not one thing that he is phenomenal at. What is the one thing?
I think, I don't know if he's phenomenal about anything, because I think he is very good at a lot of things. It's so tough to like stand out nowadays to me. Like I don't know, like everything blends together so much for me that I was like, all right, yeah, this guy's a good promo, this guy's a good in-ring worker, but like who really really stands out on that stuff? And I can name a few in certain aspects, but Drew is not one of those guys. I do think he has a certain look and a certain presence that not a lot of people have. Like even like when he was face to face with Roman Reigns before Survivor Series, like he looked huge compared to Roman, mm-hmm. and Roman looks like he towers over everybody. So he does have that look and presence that does make him stand out. As far as like Drew's run goes, I think part of the problem is like the early part of the run, he was having good matches. Like I liked the Ziggler match, even though we knew Ziggler wasn't going to win. I liked the Lashley match. I really liked the Seth Rollins match, but none of those guys were like credible challengers. It's just like, we're just going to feed you guys where we know what the outcome's going to be. And you don't have a lot of reason to be invested. And so if you're not getting me invested, like immediately off of your title win, it's tough to pull back from that. They did it with the Orton feud, I thought, going into SummerSlam. And then that feud lasted 5 months. And it's like, I don't care about this anymore. And they pulled the trigger at the wrong time. And then they switched it back. And the stuff now, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, all right, there's Sheamus, who has lost a bunch of matches. There's Keith Lee, who like lost some matches and stuff, and he's been lessened. Like, I don't fully blame Drew. By the way, you're not the first person who said this. My co-host Joe Holbert, he said the same thing. He's like, there's just something with Drew that just like isn't clicking somewhere, and I don't know what it is. And
I think
so
he needs
it
to
seems
be a
like,
little bit more Scottish, or have he ruled out adding a sword to his entrance.
They're trying, man. Like they're really trying with Drew. I truly think the problem isn't necessarily Drew. The problem is like they don't have anybody who just feels credible with him. Like we're gonna get this Keith Lee match on Monday, and like it's probably gonna be a good match and stuff, but I'm just like, what have y'all done with Keith Lee since y'all called him up at SummerSlam? He beat Randy Orton, and like that's just forgotten. Everything else has just been mindless, midless matches. Like Sheamus, I like the story between Sheamus and Drew, but Sheamus has been like nobody who's just lost a bunch of matches and stuff. Like that's been the issue, I think.
Fair, but he's also Irish.
Do Scottish and Irish have beef? I don't know.
I don't understand any of this. Like it, but also I think I'm always immediately out when WWE does this, when I guess Vince 100% does this, where they lean into the, this person is from this country, and that is their character, is they are from this country. And I think that's part of it with Drew for me, is that like the Chosen One stuff was really kind of a better look for him, because I think that would have added more to his character. It's just being like the Vince the perfect Vince guy. You know what I mean? Like, that is a more enticing character of like Drew being a heel, of just being like Vince just showing him off and being like, this is my idea of what a world champion in professional wrestling looks like. And also, you could have even done it where it's like Keith Lee doesn't have the look and Sheamus doesn't have the look and Drew does. Like, I think that would probably be more interesting to me, as if he leaned so much more into the Chosen One stuff of like, I am exactly what Vince wants. Like, I think that would just be far more interesting than what he's doing right now, which is, I'll fight anybody. And brother, let's have a pint after we go to war. Like, there is, I wrote down in my notes on Raw this week, do you know how many times they said the word physical in that opening promo?
I did not keep track, no.
Four times. That is a purely Vince thing. It wasn't organic, it wasn't normal, and I'm like, they keep saying physical. I know it's gonna be physical. Like, you know Vince wants to like hype up the, here's three big guys, it's gonna be a physical fight. Fans want physical. And it's like, this stuff is just so dumb. Like, it just... As you can see, I'm very out on all of it.
This is the another problem with like promos is, I don't feel like anybody in WWE outside of like Reigns right now, and because Reigns doesn't like have to follow this script. Kevin Owens is really good too, and I don't even think the material they give Kevin Owens is good. He's just, his delivery and demeanor and conviction is so fantastic.
Right.
But a lot of people, like, they're just, they got to use those buzzwords and they just got to, you know, follow what they've been told and stuff. And none of it comes off real or organic. Like, if you listen to or watch Talking Smack, like, those feel like real people having real conversations and saying real words. Like, everything else, the television stuff is just basically like, all right, let's, you know, follow this line by line. Let's use all the catchphrases and the buzzwords and stuff. And then that's it. And I can't get excited for any of that. That's why the Reigns stuff and the Kevin Owens stuff like really stands out, because it feels like there's actually something real behind it.
Well, it's also like AEW does a good job of this, of doing the Shivani stuff and doing those backstage stuff and like integrating it into the show. I don't understand why the company does, like, WWE doesn't incorporate Talking Smack and the Raw Talk to their main show. Like, how is the Ricochet segment not highlighted extensively on Raw? Like, he had the promo of his life, and
yeah.
It just doesn't matter. Like, nothing on those shows actually matter to the main product. I don't understand why they don't blend those together.
I have no idea, but I completely agree, because somebody asked us on our show, like, what is one thing you'd like to see more in 2021, like the future and stuff? And that's kind of what I said, is like, I would like to see that stuff like integrate. And Renee Young pushed for this as well, especially when SmackDown moved to Fox. She's like, why don't we have like the booth like up there, like the stand up there, like they do in like, you know, basketball games and stuff. Yeah. All right, here's the halftime show. Let's go to the guys. They're live in the arena, bring people on and stuff like that. Or post show. Like, that's what she wanted to do like during the show. And of course they didn't do anything with it, but I would love to see more of that. Like, somebody wins or loses and they go backstage and they have like the real sports element. I say this all the time, is like, I would love more real sports element to WWE, because they could easily do it. They try to fake do it with their, oh, we have a brand split and we have a draft and, you know, oh, there's these trades that you can make, and like none of it makes sense. The rule,
well, it's because Vince has never watched sports. Like, yes, that is something exactly. He has not spent any time doing. Like, he doesn't have time, and we know he doesn't. He knows the words. He is a buzzword guy. He's like, I know what the draft is. I know what the word is. I don't actually know how it all works, but I know the word.
Exactly. Like, I completely agree with that. But like, that is one thing I would like to see more of, is like, you can do this real sports kind of, like, why isn't there like a free agency period? Why isn't there like a trade deadline? And you have like, I don't need these authority figure general managers on the shows and stuff, but like, why don't we have that kind of stuff? If people keep losing matches, they should be traded. Like, you should want them off of the roster.
Well, I think this is something where they're going against the tide here, right? Where New Japan's already doing this, Ring of Honor is pivoting back to this, AEW obviously does it better than anybody else, but like, that's where we're headed. Like, that's where pro wrestling is going, and it seems like Vince is just like slowly drowning in the this old way of doing it, where it's like, that's not what fans want anymore, and that's not where wrestling is going, and you might as well bend to what you're given. It's kind of like the NFL college football thing, where the NFL, they're under the snap significantly less. Quarterbacks run the spread in college, and the spread is permeated into the NFL. Well, you're seeing that in pro wrestling, where it's like, if you bring in Ricochet, you bring in Aleister Black, you bring in a lot of these guys, they spent so many years doing it this way. Why would you not just make it more feasible for them to thrive in your environment by adapting to the wrestlers that you are signing? Why would you not slowly change to actually fit your personnel? And they don't do that. The biggest indictment on Vince is not bending to his personnel, right? Where he just has this idea. He's like, okay, got Ricochet. No, you're not doing anything. We got Mustafa Ali. We got these guys. He's like, no, I have my vision, and that's what I'm sticking to. I'm not just like going to I'm not going to kind of let it be in a situation where, okay, let's look at this guy individually. What are you good at? What are you not? How do I make you a star? How do I make this work for you? No, it's like, no, you either figure out how to survive in my world, or you're dropped and pushed aside. Like, that is not a good thing to do, but it's just who he's always been, and that's seems like that's just what they're always going to do, right?
I mean, there's no real creativity with a lot of this stuff, and it's so 50-50 stuff. Like, I don't watch Main Event, but I do the results for Main Event. Last week, Reckoning beat Nikki Cross. This week, Nikki Cross beat Reckoning. It's like that on across every single show. It's just people just are losers or 50-50 to death. And so no one gets over. And like that doesn't help anybody, because they just run the same matches back over and over again. Like Raw for a stretch. And I thought Raw was like fine this week. And maybe I'm grading on a curve because I judge Raw harsher than every other show, because it's typically just like really bad. So like a good episode of Raw is probably like a bad episode of SmackDown. But like, I thought Raw was fine this week. For a stretch of like 3 months or so, it was like the same thing every single week. Like the Apollo Crews and Hurt Business stuff, like Apollo Crews was just facing the Hurt Business for like 5 months. It was just the same match every single week. And it's like, this sucks. Like, who could possibly watch this and get like invested in it? But they do it because it's like, all right, you get a win, I get a win. Instead of just like, they have enhancement guys. Like, why can't Apollo Crews just go out there and just beat these enhancement guys? They're so talent rich, and they don't maximize all that talent that they have. Like, you would not know that like Drew Gulak is one of the best wrestlers in the world, because he's not portrayed like that at all. Like, he had that stretch with Brian at the beginning of the year, and then after that, like, it just completely fell off for him, and now he's just like a 24/7 title guy. And like, he's an enhancement guy, fine, but like, is that the best use of Drew Gulak, who could literally go out there and crush it with anybody in like a 10-minute match?
No. Which brings us to Elias and Jackson Riker. You excited about that?
Oh god, no.
You know what's where I was like really depressed, where I was just like, you know, this was something I wrote down when I was watching Elias versus Jeff Hardy in that really boring guitar match, or what was it? What was the match?
The Symphony of Destruction.
That's what it was. Yes. that was just atrocious. And Elias is just not very good. Like, they're not doing, like, he is so useless without a crowd. Like, has anyone been hurt more by a lack of crowd than Elias? I don't know. But he's also just a tag team guy. And that was something I was thinking about, where I'm like, this guy is just not a single star. He's not a singles guy. He is someone that needs a partner. And I think if you find the right partner for him, you could do something with him. Like the Robert Roode thing, where it's like, I never really liked him as the top guy in NXT, but do I like him as a tag team guy and Beer Money, and like him and Ziggler still have great matches? Like, yeah, that I like that a lot more. I think that's where Elias is just, I think he needs to find the right partner. And then Riker comes out and I'm like, God, not what I was asking for, but okay.
That's definitely not the right partner for anybody, honestly. I like Elias as like a performer, as a wrestler. I haven't seen like enough. Like, he seems fine as like a general wrestler. Yeah, he's been hurt really bad by the live crowd, though, because he could actually like generate heat, and you can call it cheap heat if you want, but like, he could like actually generate some good heat with his segments and stuff. So he's certainly been hurt by that. I don't mind Elias. Like, could you push other people? Sure, but this is kind of where WWE is at, is they like the entertainer aspect of things. And this is why a guy like Drew Gulak or Ali or Ricochet, like, they're just not gonna be positioned how I think guys like me and you would like them positioned, because they can't quote unquote cut a promo, even though Ali's like one of the best promos they have. They just right. don't allow him to cut a promo. But yeah, they like Elias. I think Elias is fine for their world, but he's just another guy that just like loses and stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, why do I care about this guy?
That's how it feels with everybody on this roster, it seems like. How would you like to see
Jackson
Seth
Riker
Rollins
could just
return,
go away. I have no use for him.
Wait, say that again?
I said Jackson Riker could just go away. I have no use for him.
Yeah, and that probably will end up happening anyway. How would you like to see Seth Rollins return? Because we know he got scrapped this week, it seems like, for another week of vacation. And honestly, with the way next week's stacking up, I would rather them do that anyway. Would you drop all the Messiah stuff? Because I think with SmackDown, they've got to be very careful here, where they do, like, Daniel Bryan's awesome. Love Daniel Bryan. If they do Reigns, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania next year, that will be a banger. But I, and that's also my Royal Rumble pick. I think they're going to go with Bryan. I don't know. I would like to see him return as a babyface. I think you need to kind of go back, and I would be okay with they drop the Messiah stuff, because I think SmackDown really needs some babyfaces to sink their teeth into. And Raw has none. I just checked my notes here. Yeah. Zero babyfaces to sink your teeth into. Because the best thing about Raw is the Hurt Business. Like, they are the best part of yes. that show. And what makes it, like, they're great. Say it again.
I was saying, who does SmackDown have on the heel side outside of Reigns, though?
But I'm saying Reigns is the show. Like, I don't think Seth Rollins can be a top. Like, I don't think there's room on that show for two top heels. I think that in that part of the reason they pulled Sullivan, like, this dominant monster heel, and they're like, we can't have both of these guys. But Kevin Owens,
to me, like, that's just like poor, like, thinking and planning of yeah. like. I understand, like, the Lars Sullivan, or I heard the Lars Sullivan things, like, oh, we can't have another dominant heel. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why can't you have another dominant heel? Like,
well,
figure
to be
that
fair,
out. Like,
what, does AEW have Brian Cage and Lance Archer?
Yeah. Like, they had Cage, they had Archer, and they had Brody. Like, they were building yeah. all these guys up all at the same time, and like, people thought it was like too much. But like, I'd rather have too much of someone that people are invested of than none.
Right.
And like, I don't think Lars Sullivan is the right guy, mind you, but like, if you want to push this guy, taking him off television is not the way to push him. Like, just figure out a way with that. Like, I think Rollins, I think he should be a heel, because I like the babyface side on SmackDown. I think Owens and Bryan as your two top babyfaces are like, it doesn't get much better than that, especially for the position that they want to put them in. And you have Big E as well. Like, I think he is a bona fide top babyface. So I think Rollins is someone you need. I would actually like to see a Rollins and Big E feud, because I think Big E needs like a big established victory to go along with this IC title victory. And like, beating Seth Rollins it doesn't get much stronger than that in the world of WWE.
That's fair. That's fair. What do you ultimately guess? Do you think he will come back as a heel?
I think he will, because I just don't see. I mean, I get why you'd want to, why he could be back as a babyface, because they'll just be like, oh, he's Becky Lynch's husband and they had a kid, and so cheer. But like, there's no live crowd, so it's not like the people are just gonna cheer for him, because they mix the audio. They can pipe in the boos if they want him to be booed. I would rather him be still the heel, still. I don't know about the Messiah thing. Like, on paper, that seemed good. But they lost the plot with that very early, and AOP getting hurt didn't help. I don't even think like the pandemic helped him at all, but like, he's a leader with like no followers, and that doesn't exactly work. So if he's going to come back as a heel, I would like to see him like get some actual followers who can like do some of the dirty work for him. And I think like Corbin and the Forgotten Sons wouldn't be bad in that role, because they're clearly lesser than Rollins, but they're good fodder for Rollins, for other heels, or for other babyfaces to beat up. And then like, you get to Seth Rollins.
That's fair. Let's do some year award stuff. Like, let's bounce around. Like, when you're thinking about a year in review,
who is all your... my awards are wacky. I'm gonna let you know that right now.
Perfect. Perfect. your least favorite wrestler to watch in 2020.
It's probably just a guy like that I just don't have any use for, like, personally more than professionally. So somebody like a Riker or whatever, I don't mind watching like any of these guys perform. I think for the most part, like, all of them are good. But if, like, I don't like them because of their character off screen, I'm not gonna like their character on screen.
I did not have Riker on my list. The answer, and it's been the answer for the last, I think, 10 years now, Natalia.
Oh, Natalia's my best friend. Don't bury her.
She follows me on Twitter. Like her as a person. she seems great. Just an all-time terrible promo, terrible wrestler. Like, one of the worst, and always getting in the spot. Like, I am... It pains me. It pains me to say this, Jeremy, but there's been some Natalia on my screen this year. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I get it. Like, I get it. She is... That's like the joke, is like Natalia is just going to have a position and she's just always going to be featured in some way. Like, I totally get that. I don't have any beef with Natalia. I think she's fine. Could they push other people? Sure. They like Natalia. Whatever. I've gotten so detached from a lot of the on-screen stuff that, like, I don't even think about anything like that, of like, oh yeah, this person's pushed too much or whatever, because I just don't have that type of investment with that anymore.
That's fair. It sounds healthier to me.
It is
your favorite wrestler to watch, because I guarantee you we're going to be different on this front.
Probably Brian still. Like, I really love Brian, or Moxley, like one of those. I really love Moxley. I think Moxley's my personal wrestler of the year. Like, I loved everything he did this year.
I think that's fair. Moxley's like the obvious one where, like, you want to just overthink it. Where I mean, I was fortunate enough to be at the best AEW show to this point, the Atlanta show, where Cody won at the end and was bleeding and everything. And I was there for his post show. And I was backstage at that show. Like, that was still my favorite pro wrestling night of my life. And that show was just incredible. Darby coming out. No, it's just awesome. There are so many guys I could pick from AEW that I just very much enjoy watching. But I was thinking about, like, who is just the wrestler that I just always enjoy watching, like, in ring. Like, we're doing specifically just in ring. It's so strange, but he is so fun to watch. Like, I love watching this person wrestle. It's TJ Perkins, TJP.
You said this to me last time.
I know.
I was
he's still
you,
like,
you
and
big
he's doing
TJP
great stuff with Chris
fan.
Bay and Rohit, and I'm like, I love it. I'm all in. I watch every match. I cannot help myself.
I mean, more power to you. TJP is another guy where I'm not a fan of, like, his off-screen character.
Right.
And so
I'm saying completely just in the ring. I cannot look away. Like, he is my favorite person to watch in the ring outside of Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is probably the second guy there where I have to watch everything they do because it is so much fun and I very much enjoy it. Moxley is, like, just character-wise the most fun, but I don't know. His in-ring stuff can still be hit or miss. For me, just based on what I like.
Fair enough.
Kingston deserves some love too, because Eddie Kingston promos are my favorite in pro wrestling.
Oh, big, we're big Eddie Kingston fans over
love me some
on
Eddie
the,
Kingston.
Our podcast. Yeah, Joseph is, I think he might be the biggest Eddie Kingston fan out there. Yes, he's awesome. Tremendous.
Is there a way to make a Raw watchable and your least favorite show to watch? Is there any chance that it's not your least favorite show to watch in 2020?
If they could shorten it, that it'd totally make it watchable. Like, I think they could do a good 2-hour show. It's the three hours that is, like, the problem with me. It's just, it's a long, long show. Like, pay-per-views don't even last until 11 anymore. Like, these shows last until 11. Everything else lasts until 10. And so, like, that's very nice. I guess AEW will go to, like, midnight, but at least it's Saturday.
Can they not do NXT for an hour from 8 to 9 and then do Raw 9 to 11? Can they not just do that?
I mean, they probably could. They
if USA wants 3 hours of pro wrestling. Just give them something like that, or just do 205 Live for the first day. I don't know. Just short and raw, but like you can plug in something else.
I don't know if they want 205 Live because ain't nobody watching that show.
Nobody's watching Raw anyway.
It should be like just 205 Live from like 10 to 11. Like, here you go. Here's just like some wrestling matches. Watch it.
Right. The Raw drop off. Yeah, we should probably flip it. Just do Raw 8 to 10 and do 205 Live 10 to 11. Why not just do that?
There you go. I wish. They won't do. There's no way they do anything like that. USA just likes it at 3 hours, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, it seems fruitless to complain about it. Your 2021 breakout stars will be who?
I don't know if they can be like considered breakout stars is the thing, because I feel like a lot of them already broke out in 2020. And like I follow some of the independent stuff, but I don't follow like a ton of it. I mainly just follow like result. And independent wrestling is taking a hit this year because a lot of that stuff just hasn't been able to run. Like, is Jonathan Gresham a breakout star? He's been around forever. Like, I don't know if I consider him like a breakout star or anything.
I think it would. I think he would, because I don't know if the general wrestling public know about him. He could be around for a long time, but I don't think a lot of like NXT, I don't know, like Raw and SmackDown viewers are familiar with his work, would be my guess.
Right. So, like, I think Jonathan Gresham is going to have a big year. Like, if you're talking, like, guys who might be able to break out, like, in WWE or something, I mean, they're clearly setting up, like, Raquel Gonzalez for a big year. I would like to see them do more like Dakota Kai. I think she could have a big year on, like, the main roster if they ever decided to move her up. But like otherwise they just kind of position these people how they're positioned, and I don't know if anybody's gonna like fully break out because it's just, it changes every single week on what they want to do.
Yeah, I would probably pick Kyle O'Reilly, as they have just
like Kyle O'Reilly's he's somebody I wouldn't think of as like a breakout because he's just been in NXT
but he's
the
been
longest
in a group
time.
And he's always been the other guy. Like, they have a real opportunity to establish him as his own top guy status. Like, he has he has a big opportunity in 2021 to be the top babyface on NXT. Like, I think they could 100% do that and him be awesome and just put on these amazing matches at takeovers and just let him be a fucking badass NXT champ for a long period of time. Like, that's what I would do. I think he has an opportunity. So when I say breakout, just kind of like breakout individually, like where even if they're a veteran or anything like that, where you could see 2021 just being a great year for them. And I think Kyle O'Reilly is positioned to have his moment. And if they do it right.
That's fair. All right. So using that kind of basis, I hope it's Xavier Woods, because I think he's so much better than a tag team guy, and he's great as a tag team guy, but I think he can have like a great singles run, and I know he wants to win King of the Ring really bad. I hope they bring it back just so he wins it. But I think Xavier Woods, if they let him be like a singles guy, could be a tremendous, tremendous singles guy, because he's fantastic everywhere.
Don't think that one's going to happen.
I don't think so either, but this is what, like, I hope something like that would happen.
Yeah. There's not a lot of other WWE guys that really stand out. I think Pac is probably going to have a great year in 2021 for AEW. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pushed pretty strongly.
I think Kenta is going to have a good year in New Japan. I feel like they were setting him up for a big year this year, because like, you don't close the Tokyo Dome attacking Naito, taking away that moment, if you're not getting set up for a big year. And then the pandemic happened and he was stuck in the US for a while and it just kind of went to shit.
What about Slapjack?
No, I don't think any of those guys are going to have a breakout year, unfortunately. Like, I think all those guys are really talented. I just, like, they are who they are.
To put a bow on this pro wrestling wrap up, Jeremy, I love thinking about the future and where they go with certain things. Kenny Omega will lose the AEW title to who in 2021?
I think he's going to keep it for a while. I feel like he's going to lose it to
Eddie Edwards.
No, I don't think it's going to be Eddie Edwards. I think it's going to be Hangman. I think Hangman beats
Omega. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it heel Hangman or is it babyface Hangman?
I think it's babyface because Hangman, I mean, because Omega's a heel right now.
Yes.
Like, he's 100% a heel. Hangman's, like, in that tweener position.
Mm.
And I kind of think, like, Dark Order, like, babyfaces now. And especially with everything with Brody passing, like, it's going to be tough to view Dark Order as, like, these are the bad people right now. And, like,
sure
the BTE
keeps going,
to,
by the way?
Do what?
Are we sure the Dark Order just continues being a thing?
I don't know. I feel like it will in some capacity. Like, John Silver said, like, he doesn't want there to be another Exalted One. And I completely agree with that. But, like, I think they'll continue to be, like, some type of group just to, if anything, to like, honor his memory. But they need some type of, like, leadership guy. And, like, Hangman could be that. And you can still do, like, a lot of comedy and whatnot with them while also getting serious. John Silver is, like, a breakout star. That he has been fantastic this year in many different ways. And I think he's in line for even more this upcoming year or in 2021.
I think Paige is a really good pick. And I was thinking about who, I don't know, because it's not going to be Kingston. It's not going to be, like, Jungle Boy. It's not going to be Archer. I don't know. I don't think there's an obvious one. It's not going to be MJF. Like, part of me really wants to say Miro. Part of me thinks that Miro is going to be pushed significantly in 2021, and it's going to take a long time for him to take a pin. And I would not be surprised in them seeing money in front of a crowd of Miro versus Omega. Like, I would not be surprised if that's something they end up deciding to go down late in 2021. So he's like my dark horse pick. I don't hate the Page pick. I also wouldn't be surprised if they just put it back on Mox.
Like,
I wouldn't be surprised if they let, when the fans are back, they give him his moment to get revenge on Omega.
I could totally see that. Like, Moxley, for all he did for AEW in 2020, it'd be nice if he got a run in front of, like, fans, because his run in front of fans lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And seeing his overness in person was just bonkers. Like, him, Darby, Cody. There's just nothing like being in an AEW show in person when the arena is just hot. Like, there's just so much energy. And I'm sure NXT TakeOvers have been, like, have you been to a TakeOver in person?
I've not been to a TakeOver.
Have you been to an AEW event in person?
Yes, I was at Full Gear, not this year, but last year.
Yeah, it's just like a different energy. Like, it's just fun. And I think that's actually what pro wrestling should be, fun.
The AEW events are, like, I said that when the crowd stopped happening, is I thought it was going to hurt them more because their crowd is such a big part of the show. Like, I think it's hurt Cody matches. I think Cody's had like a great year in ring. I think it would have been even better if the fans were there, because they are so invested in Cody as a person, as a character, that it leads more to his work. But yeah, the AEW crowds are just fantastic, and I look forward to when fans are back and those crowds can be lively again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jeremy, what can we check out from you this week and heading into 2021 on Fightful?
Oh my God. Fightful.com. I'm there every single day running the offense over at Fightful.
Mm.
If you go to youtube.com/Fightful, I do three shows a week, at least three shows a week, sometimes more. The main show is The Distraction, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, live. Not today, but typical is when we do it. And we're launching a Twitch. twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're going to be doing some video game stuff and a bunch of other stuff on this Twitch. So a lot of big things ahead in 2021. I'm looking forward to 2021. I feel like it's going to be a good year, personally.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I hope that for you as well, my friend Jeremy. We will pod more in the new year. Stay safe out there, and happy new year, my friend.
Happy new year to you as well, and stay safe. And I cannot wait to see what you got in store for 2021 as well, Chase.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.